We're focusing on Leon County, Tallahassee economy today with a special presentation, excerpts from the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce Legislative Breakfast. We'll have excerpts from conversations I've had with Kerry Post and with Commissioner Jeremy Matlow, looking at how our county ranks among all other counties in Florida. You don't want to miss this.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. Merrymaids, call Merrymaids. Relax, and it's done. And by Chelsea Salon and Spa, Tallahassee's largest Aveda lifestyle spa and salon since 1979.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com. Friend, on this occasion, when we have opportunity to pause for a moment, departing from our usual format for the show, we've given everybody else the day off. It's just me and you, pal. And of course, the ever popular King Cabba, who is deftly mastering the controls. He's over there guiding this spaceship through its various ports of entry and across the sea, nautical that he is. He is a sailor of some report and great accomplishment, I would say. Leaning on our maritime theme here, I want to talk about some of the rough seas we've experienced of late and some of those choppy waters that continue to plague us in the way of these poverty pockets, we'll call them. That's what David Hart called them when we were listening to him talk to the gathering of business leaders and community leaders, commissioners, at this recent gathering, the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce Legislative Breakfast here just a couple of weeks ago, here in the month of May 2019, following the conclusion of this year's chamber session, that is to say, following the conclusion of this year's legislative session, state of Florida, David Hart, a pretty accomplished man who represents the interests of Florida in the context of his position, vice president of Florida's largest and most influential business advocacy organization, as it's referred to. He manages the chamber's extensive legislative and political operations, that is, the Florida Chamber of Commerce. He was born in Tampa and raised in Winter Haven, Florida, so he is a native. Graduated from Emory University in Atlanta, got his bachelor's in economics and political science. Spent a number of years in Washington, D.C., serving first as a legislative officer, United States Department of Transportation, and then later as the Deputy Director of Legislative Affairs, United States Peace Corps. So there you go. David Hart has served the Florida Chamber of Commerce and the people of Florida by extension for a number of years, and brought to us what was essentially a summary then, along with his comments regarding the accomplishments of the Florida Chamber on behalf of Florida's business we'll say, community. So in this, you're going to hear a number of his comments referring to our progress or our status. That is to say, legislatively, how bills were passed, what their impact was and will be in regard to Florida's future, what happened in the process of trying to get some of these measures moved in the direction that favors Florida business. So we'll learn a lot about what happened. Now, let me just say this. If you're not a business owner, you still want to pay attention, because ultimately everything that happens for Florida happens to you and I. No matter whether we are employed at $15 an hour or if we own a company locally, or if we're invested heavily in other companies around Florida, everything from the daily wages that we earn to the 401k that points to our future. Yeah, what the Florida legislature does and what the Florida Chamber of Commerce tries to do in favoring Florida business has impact on you and I. We're going to take the show today to bring to that perspective on Florida business this ongoing conversation that you and I have had now for some time as we look at some of the troubling parts. I said choppy waters. Well, there are these places in Florida, I mean zip codes, neighborhoods, people who not only are not enjoying the advancement directly of Florida's economy, and David Hart will talk about that, but they're in many respects disenfranchised, or they are entrenched in a kind of status quo that has them landlocked. The folks over there at United Way call them ALICE, asset limited, income constrained, employed. So they're working people, but just can't get anywhere. We're going to talk about some of the causes, some of the root causes, and then what are those proposed solutions that are being offered. And David Hart will refer to this in his comments in passing, and he takes it upon himself to point out that, in fact, there are those populations, subpopulations, neighborhoods in our state and certainly here in Leon County, when you look at the 32304 zip code, often written about. I mean, if you just do a quick search on Leon County poverty, various news bureaus have come to us over and over again, including Greater Tallahassee's chamber leaders have said, we need to look strongly at how not just the 04 zip code, but how poverty and food scarcity and income entrenchment affect this community. So here's my perspective, for what it's worth. Yes, it has direct impact on those families, of course, but it also has impact upon us as a community on every measure, whether that's social services, crime and crime prevention, drug use, go down the list. How about just employability? How about a thriving economy that needs people who are better prepared, better able then to participate in that, as vital to the economic growth we all want to shout about. We all want to get excited about Leon County. Yay. We have to do the business, I think, of looking beyond the borders of the county, certainly beyond a few zip codes, and look at this area, because, again, I'm guilty of this, but a constant haranguing here that you get from me is to look beyond and say, Tallahassee is really more like 4, 5, maybe 6 counties, because people are making their living working in Leon County, Tallahassee, right? So folks, this is why, in fact, I thought it would be worthwhile. We have this opportunity to hear from David Hart, Florida Chamber of Commerce. We're also going to bring to you some of the remarks we've heard from Dr. Jerry Parrish, also with Florida Chamber, actually the Florida Chamber Foundation. And I'll tell you a little bit about him when we reach that point in the show. So I encourage you to stay with me. As we do, I want to bring to you a couple of announcements just for the sake of our well-being. A little reminder here from Leon County Government. They have an amnesty day for tires that happens today. Goes all the way through the day till 5 o'clock. If you got old tires hanging around in your yard, great mosquito breeding environment. So don't do that. And you don't have to pay any kind of a fee. So you just take those over there to the Leon County Fleet Management, 1800 North Blairstone Road, and they'll take your old tires and recycle them for you without charging you. So that's that. Folks, I want you to stay with me. We've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on this special occasion when we are focused on Tallahassee-Leon County economy. Courtesy of our good friends at Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce, the legislative breakfast that they hosted recently, featuring the keynote remarks of David Hart, who is Vice President of Florida Chamber of Commerce. And in that respect, we're going to take this moment to listen to David Hart talk about Florida's economy. Let's listen.
I'm going to start with sort of a little bit of economic data to level set where we are as a state and as a community. Mark and I get to travel the whole state and give speeches all over the state. And I bet this audience knows this statistic, but I'm constantly surprised at how few business leaders know that Florida has a $1 trillion annual economy. We passed that mark last year, and with that, we became the 17th largest economy in the world if Florida were its own country. Pretty impressive. By the way, our foundation, through our 2030 work, has recommended a goal that as a state, we try to achieve top 10 status by 2030, meaning one of the top 10 economies in the world. You all know that we surpassed New York last year. We now have over 21 million residents. We're gaining about 900 a day right now. So we'll have another 5 to 5.5 million residents in Florida by 2030. We set another record in tourism just a few months ago. In fact, right when session was starting, we hit 126 million visitors. If you travel just about anywhere in the state, you feel that presence on our roads. But what's amazing about that is, although we're already the most visited destination in the world, we'll see another 25 to 50 million visitors on top of the 126 million by just 2030. We are enjoying 3.5% unemployment statewide, which is incredibly strong. What you may not know is that Florida is creating one out of every 13 jobs in the whole United States. And there was a peak couple of years there, not too long ago, where Florida was creating one out of every 8 jobs in the entire country. Right now, we have 286,300 jobs open and 360,000 fellow Floridians looking for work. You're likely familiar with the scorecard by now, as many times as Mark and I have joined you for different occasions. And so if you're not, I encourage you to go to the floridascorecard.org. This is the work of our foundation. It tracks many, many metrics that we think are important to policymakers, business leaders in the state to know how are we doing as a state? Are we on the right track? Are we improving? Or are we falling behind? As you know, we the second generation of the scorecard, it's a couple of years ago now, we drilled down and you have data by county level. So for those of you who wanted to compare, well, how's Leon County measuring up to the rest of the state, you can click on Leon County and see that, wow, Leon County's got 3% unemployment. It's just incredibly strong. But I want to dwell for just a moment on one other statistic related to Leon, and that's that 20.5% poverty rate. And I mention that one because it's rather timely. Actually, before I go to that, let me just mention the county level is also predictive now. So it can glance into the future and tell any county, here's how many jobs you need to create by 2020 and 2030 to stay at full employment. So that's an important point to make, that Leon needs to create an almost 1,800 more jobs by 2020 and another 16,300 jobs by 2030. But to the poverty point, it's pretty relevant right now because week after next, the Florida Chamber will be hosting a statewide prosperity summit. And this was really born several years ago when some of our board members said, you know, the business community needs to find ways to step into the gap and lift all boats, that Florida's not all rising economically. You know, we've got pockets of poverty around the state. In fact, we have 983 zip codes, and our foundation has drilled down to see where do we have the strongest pockets of poverty and how might we attack them as a business community. That's the map of Leon. You can see that total, we have nearly 10,000 children in Leon County living in poverty. And so the big question we'll be addressing week after next as business leaders from all across the state come together is, what's the role the business community can play to help lift people out of generational poverty and make a difference in Florida? I think Mark spoke to this point when he was with you in the fall, and the Tallahassee Democrat even picked up on that quote that Leon County has one of the most striking poorest zip codes, if not the poorest zip code in the entire state. And it should be a rally cry for all of us, and I know many of you are engaged in it, so thank you.
You're listening to a special edition of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny as we focus on Leon County, Tallahassee economy, with remarks from David Hart, Florida Chamber of Commerce. You stay with me. We've got more right after this.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction.
It's what Jack Whidden wanted, and it's been the Whidden way of doing business for over 70 years. Whidden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whidden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are, my friend, in this portion of our show today as we focus on the observations made by David Hart, Florida Chamber of Commerce, focused on Florida's economy, especially in our world, the business of Leon County government, city of Tallahassee. All of this coming to us as a way of looking at where we are economically, issues of employment, taxation, and this nagging little problem we have called poverty and food scarcity especially. For us, it is not something outside of our view at any time, and it is the reason why we cooperate with some of our other media partners. Tallahassee Family Magazine, TFM, has done its part in trying to bring to you information about where we are and participates with us in our Tallahassee Food Challenge. Our presenting sponsor is Gain Street Pies. We have Whidden Glass involved and Sellers Tile. These are local businesses who commit to keeping this topic abreast in our minds, keeping us moved in the direction of helping while we go about trying to figure out how we move Leon County away from being the third in the state for food scarcity. Other reports of late, let's say over the last 5 or 6 years, have referred to Tallahassee as the most income segregated in the United States. Other research indicating we are the most income entrenched. That's talking about generational poverty. That means that when you have what we experience as a kind of distancing, a separation, a segregation from those that are doing okay or doing quite well against those who are at or below poverty level. And when I talk with a lot of my friends, business colleagues, clients, and the admission is, I can't imagine that. So when you talk to the folks with food charity organizations, any of them, they'll say, yeah, those are people who are invisible in plain sight. So we're taking the opportunity today to say, well, let's peel back that onion a little bit. Let's get down to some of the core issues. In doing that, I want you to hear the remarks we have on file here from Dr. Jerry Parrish. He, as well as with Florida Chamber of Commerce, talked with us here about a year ago, back in March of 18, about this topic. Let's take a listen.
We talk about poverty no matter where we are. And one of the things we show is on the Florida Scorecard, and that's our data website that's free and available to use for everybody. You can find it at www.thefloridascorecard.org. There's not only poverty rates for every single county in this state, and you know, third grade reading scores and all the metrics that are important to our future, you know, it's for every single county, and it's available to where you can click on the website, you can download a chart, you can download the raw data, you know, make your own presentation. But we want all the business leaders around the state to use numbers to see how we're doing on these important metrics. I see that there is a lot of opportunity here in Leon County. But also, one of the things we track on our Florida scorecard is the metrics from the book and the website, How Money Walks. So you can click on the website and see every single county in Florida and where people have moved into and left and gone to, and it's weighted by their adjusted gross income. And you will notice that that Leon County is one of the counties who have a negative number attached to it. But quite honestly, a lot of that is college kids who come here to get educated, and then they leave. The number one place weighted by money is King County, Washington, for Leon County. So people move into Seattle, and you can assume that a lot of those are people who have graduated from FSU, you know, maybe FAMU as well. The same phenomenon happens in Alachua County. So Gainesville students at UF are also that way. But you can track where the money is moving to and moving from. And it's surprising. There's a lot of people in North Florida from Miami-Dade and Broward counties who may have retired up here or moved up here to take jobs. It's a fascinating look, and you can see that on the floridascorecard.org.
So there you have Dr. Jerry Parrish, Chief Economist for Florida Chamber of Commerce. He is a remarkable individual, the director of research there, and in that role has been responsible for conducting in-depth analyses on the Florida economy and on solutions to help secure Florida's future. Well, in that regard, Florida Chamber does this nifty thing called the Florida Scorecard. And in that way, you get the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all there for you. And honestly, here, my mission is not to besmirch any of our achievement. We should all be very grateful for Florida's growing economy and for our local economy that is showing great indication that things are getting better for a lot of people. What Dr. Parrish is bringing to our attention is that we cannot consider a community to be vital and vibrant and sustainable if we continue to drag along with us this liability, this deficit. And it's a deficit of humanity. It's a deficit of a population of people that we continue to try to help and secure provision for. But the real question is, how do we move people up out of that way of life? How do we get them plugged into? And when we do that, do we create unintended consequences? Right, so that in fact the very things that we're trying to do create other problems, or themselves are not mindful of all that is involved when someone is saying, yeah, I'll take that job, but I might risk losing the benefits that I have. It's called a fiscal cliff. Here's Dr. Parrish.
And basically, a fiscal cliff is somebody who comes, you know, who is in that situation where a marginal increase in their income makes them lose that social program that you're talking about. And it's especially difficult on people who have young kids that are in subsidized childcare. That's the biggest cliff that people have to navigate. And so in what my paper wrote about was how that distorts the labor market. And it does all over the state. You know, somebody can't take a raise. They can't take a promotion, or they won't work those extra hours because they know if they do, they'll lose some program. And it'll be, they gain a few dollars by working, you know, a couple hours extra, but they could lose literally thousands of dollars worth of benefits. And it mostly affects young kids. And so, you know, what my paper said is it was written to the business community. And it said, hey, understand that this is happening. It's not fair to business. It's not fair to individuals. And if we could just make a more linear path out of poverty, you know, instead of something that where you're faced with multiple cliffs on the way out, that it would distort.
So it would be incremental. Let's say I take a certain X number of dollars increase in pay, but there's a commensurate then sort of gradual tapering off and not a complete loss of those benefits, right?
Right. The tapering, you know, the gradual tapering is what you would want, where people still have incentives to make more money, you know, work more, come back into the workforce even. That gives them the opportunity to make more. And, you know, we all know how expensive it is as business people to retrain someone. What if you lose somebody because they can't You know, they can't get in the labor force, and you have to retrain somebody. That's a serious cost for business in this state.
You're listening to a special edition of Tallahassee Talks as we look at local economy, Florida economy. You stay with me. We've got more. Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. As we close out this first hour of the show, we've had opportunity to hear from David Hart, Florida Chamber of Commerce Vice President, as well as Dr. Jerry Parrish, who serves as their Chief Economist, bringing to us good news, maybe even better news, the Florida Legislature having concluded its business, a number of those measures that the Florida Chamber was advocating have been successful, and as such, from the Chamber's perspective, then a more friendly business environment. And so from, let's say, a top-down perspective, as business grows and incomes for business owners grow, then we would say, okay, so then payrolls ought to grow, employment ought to grow, unemployment ought to continue to decline, and yet there remains this sort of nagging business of these poverty pockets, I think Mr. Hart referred to. We had the opportunity to hear from Dr. Parrish, in as much as he points to some of the rootedness of that, you know, the roots of why is it that we find especially Tallahassee in this unenviable status of being the most income entrenched in America. This is based on census data research, or sometimes referred to as a panel study, but post facto analysis of those census data revealing that if you are born in Leon County, the chances of you making more money than your parents are the lowest in the country. Wow. It flies in the face of what most of us experience, I think, many of us experience, maybe most of us, in that we see marvelous contributions to the local scene, whether it's the expansion of Midtown, the installation of infrastructure and parks like Cascades Park, the conversations that we have often with people talking about in an upbeat way the new Tallahassee. We've been listening to comments from David Hart, Florida Chamber of Commerce. Let's return for more as we listen to his reflections on legislative achievement this year.
One of the things we've been involved with for a long time at the Florida Chamber is this constitutional amendment process in Florida. So we have multiple ways to change our constitution, but one of them is a citizens initiative process, which we should be proud of and we should protect, and we all, you know, like to have that opportunity. But one of the things we've seen in recent history is out-of-state groups, some with very deep pockets, sort of misusing our system that's there for us as citizens. With a couple million dollars, you can basically rent petition gatherers to go around and catch you at a mall or wherever and sign their petition. For a couple million more dollars, you can run ads and you can pretty much get your special interest project put into our Constitution. And I'd be okay with that every time one of those initiatives is led by a Floridian or a group of Floridians that see an idea or have something they want to have in our Constitution that the legislature's not acting on. But to have out-of-state billionaires that don't have to live under our Constitution come in, rent petition gatherers, put something in our Constitution that they don't have to live under is unacceptable to me as a Floridian. And so House Bill 5 was an attempt to say, let's return and restore that process to us as citizens of Florida and not allow billionaires of any stripe or color, by the way. There are billionaires on the right and there are billionaires on the left that want to play politics in Florida. Most of the time, by the way, it has nothing to do with the underlying policy they're promoting. Florida is the single biggest prize in presidential elections. And because of that, some of these proposed constitutional amendments are being used as turnout weapons, all because somebody wants to have someone benefit from who's showing up at the polls. So they try to put things on our ballot that will drive turnout. Do you follow me so far? So House Bill 5 did a few things to add more transparency to the process so we as Floridians could know, for example, who's funding this? Who's funding this effort? Is it coming from out of state? It also did one very important thing to try to reduce any potential fraud in the system. Right now in Florida, and until House Bill 5 is signed, these petition gathering firms can pay by the signature. And if you think about that as an incentive, you're incentivizing those petition gatherers to say, well, I could forge a name here. I could pull a couple names off these gravestones. Maybe I, you know, won't get caught, but doesn't matter because I'm going to get paid and I'll be back out of Florida, back home before anybody catches me. So we literally had a payment process that incentivized people to fake names, turn them in. The new system says you can still pay people to collect, but you got to pay them by some other method than by the petition they gather. And I think that was a very helpful reform. Keep an eye on that because that bill will go to the governor soon. It was one of the few issues this session that was pretty partisan. I believe the governor will sign it, but I think that helps restore the process to us as citizens. Lastly, I'll give a shout out to autonomous vehicles. Again, Chris Emmanuel on our team has led our autonomous vehicle coalition for about 3 years now. He's done a fantastic job. It was really his vision and brainchild that we had an opportunity as Floridians to take advantage of the billions of dollars that are being invested in our country and globally in this new technology and say, we want to make Florida the number one state to be receptive to autonomous vehicles. And three bills and several sessions later, I think Chris is well on the way to establishing Florida that's known far beyond our borders as a place that's hospitable to that type of technology. Couple wins that aren't on the board that I'll speak to were in the budget. Pretty important to all local chambers and economic development organizations around the state were funding for Enterprise Florida, funding for Visit Florida. For sure, those were bumpy roads again this session with different positions staked out by both bodies. But you'll remember if you were following this early on, there was a point where the House was saying, now let's just cut Visit Florida loose. Let's fund it through the end of the year at $19 million and let it go away. That's a really horrible decision or position in my worldview. We have 1.4 million jobs in Florida tied to those tourists that come into our state every year. We all enjoy not having to pay personal income tax because we have 126 million visitors coming to our state every year. So to say we're just going to not market our state anymore is not wise, and I congratulate the Senate and thank them that they stayed strong. We ended up with $50 million for Visit Florida, and it gets at least one more year of life where the governor and the head of Visit Florida can sort of assess its accomplishments or lack thereof, and we'll fight it out again next session when we see what the reports say.
You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, this special report on Florida's economy and local economies for Leon County. Tallahassee. You stay with me. I've got more after this.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
So, you hate your job, and you don't have the skills to get a new one. Well, you're not alone. Over 50% of the people are not happy with their job, and 30% feel like they're at a dead end. Next Professional Development Training wants to change that. They have the courses that you need to jumpstart your career or start a new one. In growing fields like technology and healthcare, their instructors are Microsoft certified and work in the fields they teach, so you know that you're being trained by an experienced instructor. You get to touch, build, listen to, and watch your learning material while learning skills such as Microsoft Office Specialist, CompTIA, Network and Cybersecurity, SharePoint Online, and nursing and medical courses. Start your new career today with Next Professional Career Development. Call or click 850-739-5595 or online at nextrainingcenter.com. That's nextrainingcenter.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you've just joined us, we are here in the second hour of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks, available to you always online, TallahasseeTalks.com, taking the opportunity to think about who we are, where we are, what's going on with us economically, socially, how are we addressing these issues that continue to drag on the lives of our neighbors, whether it's lack of education, employment, low income. It has been said that there are two Tallahassees. And we talked with Carrie Post recently, and she talked about that. And it's interesting, her perspective, too, because the research that Visit Tallahassee conducted brought to our attention how we are perceived by those outside of Tallahassee. Carrie Post is the executive director for Visit Tallahassee, Leon County Bureau. Tourist Development Council has also then been its title over the years. But Visit Tallahassee, in short, is there to promote tourism and does a fine job by most accounts, trying to do the better job, especially under Carrie's leadership. She's been with him, I think, now about 3 years or so. But in fact, that work is funded through, you know, hotels and restaurants that pay taxes that pretty much keep that whole effort moving forward. It's in their best interest. At the same time, you ask the question, when people look at Tallahassee, if you do a Google search on Tallahassee economy, it is not a pretty picture. There's a lot of ugly there. And these are the perceptions that people are forming when they read some of the research that's available. Some locals will report the same. And so we're going to look a little more closely here at the two Tallahassees. Let's listen to what Carrie Post had to say.
So we did some research last year on visitor perceptions of the destination. We did both in-state and out-of-state focus groups, internet surveys of folks that had been to Tallahassee within the last 3 years and folks that had never been to Tallahassee, and what was their perception. Mm-hmm. And the results were fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
What we found was it was quite the paradox. We're very much a dichotomy. And it depends on, again, but this was across the board. There was very, very strong responses that we were a historical community, very traditional. And yet, on the exact same other hand, with other strong numbers, we were a very hip and vibrant and energetic community. I mean, just as strong, you know. And then you have folks that say, same thing again, a paradox, that it's very relaxing. Tallahassee is a place to be very relaxed and chill and, you know, kind of reconnect, you know, with nature. And then you have another side that's, it is adventure, it is excitement, it is fun. And we're getting those diverse responses across the board, and it was fascinating.
So there we have the remarks from Kerry Post of late regarding these two Tallahassees. Well, from the standpoint of that making good news for visitors to Tallahassee, it's all in the positive, right? At the same time, efforts have been made over the years to try to get us to think about all of what is Tallahassee, all of what is Leon County, and even beyond. So that Tallahassee-Thomasville SMA, Statistical Metropolitan Area, right? What is it about that region, this region, our home, that may not be particularly attractive, but unless we are willing to acknowledge, at the very least, we can't ever find our way free of. We can't ever get past the point at which there is a significant number of folks who are just disenfranchised and then become marginalized. You know, for many years, I practiced marriage and family counseling. About 20, 21, 22 years. And in those many years, it was a constant. You'd have families coming to you that in most cases were otherwise, by your account, my account, seemingly okay, fairly normal, right? I mean, functional, but brought with them and labored under a level of dysfunction. Curiously enough, it usually came down to one, maybe two people in the family. So that was the person who was drug addicted, alcoholic, emotionally disturbed, dealing with psychiatric disorder, you know, on you go, had been in out of jail, right? Or otherwise, what, you know, has been referred to as the black sheep of the family. In fact, you know, family constellations often are formed that way, around the heroes and the black sheep and the rescuers and all of that sort of thing. All that to say to you, if we think of our community as a family, if you will bear with me, if we think of this community in a manner that suggests we are all connected. And my goodness, in a town that's what, or let's just say the county, about a couple hundred thousand people, that's not a lot of folks. And I think that's why some of these things are even more dramatic for us. I think that's why it's disturbing to business leaders and, you know, to politicians and social service folks when, you know, the reports come out. Yeah, the most segregated city in America. Richard Florida's research, talking about income segregation as well as lifestyle. And it begs the question, well, where does this come from? How did this all come about? Well, one of the ways in which we can better appreciate this is to look at ways in which local organizations are doing something to try to offset or provide opportunity for some of the fix. Let's listen to Dr. Jerry Parrish, Florida Chamber of Commerce. He talks about that. Here's an outtake from an earlier conversation.
One of the things that TCC does is give scholarships to kids from Gadsden County that have a 3.0 grade point average or higher. Huh. They get their first year at TCC for free, you know, no tuition.
Wow.
And that's a great program that's helping economic development in this state. And I have to give my, you know, tip my hat to Dr. Jim Murdaugh over there and his board who've come up with that program. I think that's an awesome way to help develop, you know, the counties in this area and give opportunity to kids that may not be able to get it any other way.
So here we are trying to piece together a puzzle in talking about my work with families over the years. One of the first things we have to do, and it's the hardest part, is to get beyond denial, to get in touch with the truth, to begin to embrace that truth, to not run from it, to where people are not simply invisible in plain sight any longer. You stay with me.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Thanks for hanging in there with me today, my friend. Learning a lot here, aren't we? Maybe you knew all this stuff. At least, if you did, maybe you're getting a bit of a review and maybe you're getting a little bit more detail than you otherwise have had at your disposal. It seems to me, you know, our mission around here is pretty clear. We are the show that talks about Tallahassee, that brings to you those who are talking about Tallahassee, talking with you and I about what they do to contribute to who we are as a community. We've been doing this now, let's see, 7.5 years. We're in our 8th season. Remarkable conversations with remarkable people over all of this time. And today's show, nonetheless, no less are we impressed with the contributions of people like David Hart and Kerry Post and Jerry Parrish, Dr. Parrish, who is their chief economist there at Florida Chamber of Commerce. All of this we're bringing to you courtesy of the good folks at the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce, who were kind enough to give us access to the presentation for their legislative breakfast here a couple weeks back. So we've been able to provide you some outtakes then from that event, featuring the remarks of David Hart, their vice president, especially focused on legislative activities. And so in that, he was giving us his observations, what it is that this year's legislative session was able to accomplish on behalf of Florida's business community at large. Several achievements from his point of view, having to do with taxes and regulations of business and addressing tort reform, some of those things that have been of particular concern, the continuation of back to school and hurricane preparedness holidays, tax holidays, a lowering of business rents. So if you're renting a space for your business, you should see that tax on your rent to go down a bit. They'd like to see it abolished. Commitments to infrastructure statewide and insurance costs for business, including workman's comp. A lot of those things that impact business directly. So what we're trying to do then is bring to you then a understanding of how those impact not only the businesses at hand, but the trickle down. How does that affect you and I as working folks or as pension holders, you know, people who are invested in Florida companies? Yeah. So what does this mean for us locally? Well, let's take some more time here. We've got David Hart bringing us further his remarks regarding this legislative session. So let's listen to David Hart.
So I don't have time to sort of hit every one of these bills, but let me just say broadly, every year there are bills filed that are harmful to the business community. Many of them are in the form of employer mandates. At the Florida Chamber, we tried to defend Florida's employers and protect them from new mandates, and that's about 10 bills right there that we managed to stop, all of which could have had impacts on your business or the broader business community. So, you know, if you chalk up 20 wins and then also stopping, you know, 10-ish, maybe 12 harmful things, I'm pretty proud of our team this year. There's always this category, which is unfinished business. And with this, I'm getting pretty close to the end, Sue. I hope I've saved time for Q&A. There were three bills that we would love to have passed this year that we did not find success on, but know that our team will be ready, willing, and able to fight for them again next year. One is workers' comp reform. I mentioned earlier some of the rulings from the Florida Supreme Court where they had found unconstitutional different laws we had passed. One was workers' comp. This isn't like the sexiest subject to talk about, but every employer in the state pays this, and you're mandated to. Many, many years ago, when Governor Bush was in office, we had a year where we had the number one or number two highest workers' comp rates in the whole country. And so Governor Bush and the Florida Chamber at that time put attorney fee caps in place, and it brought Florida's workers' comp rates down 60% over about a, say, 8 to 10 year period, 60%. By the end of that time, we were sort of middle of the pack. We were around 25, 26th ranking of the 50 states, but a lot of improvement, a lot of cost savings. The Supreme Court, 2 years ago-ish now, found that law. They finally got the right case to them, and they found that law unconstitutional and threw out the attorney fee caps. So many of our members around the state, some of the state's largest employers, but medium and small employers too, recognize that that's a big problem, and it's a sort of an unknown, unquantified future cost each year when the new rates get set. We've been very blessed that the last 2 years workers' comp rates have come down. That's good news for every employer. But the bad news is the experts in the system tell us regularly they're seeing a spike in the number of lawsuits filed, and they're seeing an additional spike in the amount of legal fees associated with every case. By the way, it's the same amount or less amount is now flowing to the injured employee, which is not what any of us employers would want in the system. But the attorneys are making more, and the injured worker's getting slightly less. So at some point, those factors that are going on in the system are going to cause your workers' comp rates to go back up. There was a very good bill filed by Senator Keith Perry this year that would have addressed that. It did not progress, and the House had a different version that wasn't really as good. So workers' comp remains to be done. On the assignment of benefits front, while I mentioned that the property, the homeowner's piece was solved, the automobile piece solution came out near the end of session. So believe it or not, there's between 25 and 28,000 lawsuits in the state right now dealing with auto glass. And in 99% of those cases, the policy owner, meaning one of us, doesn't know that their insurance company is being sued. So this is still to be solved.
David Hart, Vice President for the Florida Chamber of Commerce, focused on economic political concerns. Stay with me.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on this special occasion when we are focused on Florida's economy and local economy, courtesy of having several folks contribute to our understanding, principally David Hart, Vice President, Florida Chamber of Commerce, looking at those achievements that... from the Florida business perspective, were part of this year's legislative session. And as we drill down a bit with that, we ask the question, so what lies ahead? Let's look at the way before us. And if we make that much more personal and we come back down to ground level, we talk about the various initiatives, whether they are public, whether they are nonprofit, or whether they are private. We have this Tallahassee Food Challenge that we have now operated for the last 8 years, which takes the opportunity to say, you and I can help, very simply. So when you go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com, you're going to find resource there that's going to make it easier for you to contribute to local food charities who then in turn are able to have direct impact in those neighborhoods. Leon County remains third in the state for food insecurity, food scarcity. That may not be affecting you personally on a daily basis, but I would make the argument that it is affecting all of us collectively on an ongoing basis. Because when in fact you have hungry kids and parents that are struggling, that are landlocked, as the ALICE designation suggests, I mean, they're working hard. They're doing everything they can. They're just not getting there. So they need help. Beyond that, then they need us to look at ways in which we can help lift them up out of that entrenched status so that their kids now are not part of that ongoing cycle year after year, generation after generation. So not only are we known for our vibrancy, our charm, our history, we're known for our determination to make life better for the greatest number of people over the greatest period of time in a cooperative way, public, nonprofit, and private. So that when I talk about the food challenge, I mean, that's funded by private dollars. These are businesses that commit their advertising budget. Why? Because out of sight, out of mind. You wonder why people remain invisible in plain sight? Well, yeah, because you and I are busy doing everything we do. Well, when was the last time you drove out Highway 20 to the west side of the county? Go do that. Ask yourself, who is it that lives in those homes? Or go up to the 03 zip code, the northwest side of town. Right. Ask yourself, how are they getting through? Or do this, go over to Gaston County. Living conditions not only affect daily lives, they affect the business of hope, hope for a better future. So we took that question to newly elected Commissioner Jeremy Matlow, City of Tallahassee. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people agree. You know, we talk about our poverty rates, and in the last year, we actually saw the number of working poor, the ALIS population, grow. So it's a serious concern. We talked about it at our budget meeting last week, and at our first retreat when we set our priorities. The top priorities that haven't been changed in quite a few years, we updated the quality of life priority to be the quality of life and the impact of poverty, because the two go hand in hand. So I think poverty is an issue this commission's ready to take seriously and head on. And as we decide how we're going to spend dollars and invest in projects, we're going to be looking how we tie the two together and really start to move the needle in the right direction.
I learned about ALIS by way of our good friends over there at the United Way. And it's an interesting acronym, you know, asset limited, income constrained employed.
It's a nice way of saying the working poor or the struggling people.
So this is the man and his wife or whomever, and they may have full time employment, or they often would have another job in addition, part time, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the level of income, they're stuck. So they are among another term that I was educated to was the income entrenched, and that from one generation to the next, you're not going to see a whole lot of change there. Mm-hmm. So when you think of those populations, do you have a grand vision? You have some magic bullet?
I mean, there's no magic bullet, but I mean, it's every policy you make, every decision, every dollar you spend, if you have that in mind of how we're investing in local businesses, startups, and how we're providing opportunities in neighborhoods that don't have businesses in them, so they have to take a bus to go to a job. And you look at all these, the greater vision of it.
There you go.
Just have it in your mind when you're making decisions. You know, the benefit will be felt, you know, over the years as we go on.
So there you have it, Commissioner Jeremy Matlow talking about some of the initial efforts, progress as he sees it going forward. He's finding among his colleagues there a receptive ear, those who agree with him that there's more to be done. But man alive, it isn't about adding more social service programs necessarily. Maybe it's an adjustment to those programs already in place. Go back to the comments from Dr. Parrish when he talks about a fiscal cliff. You understand what that means? Yeah. So I'm living on public assistance, right? And that public assistance primarily comes in the form of providing for childcare, right? Okay, if you're a mom or a dad and you're paying for childcare, yeah, you know what that price tag looks like. It's tough. Okay, so as an employer, you're looking for an opportunity to hire this individual. She's a working mom. She's on public assistance that supplements the income she has. And you say, you know, I'd like to give her an increase in her salary or her wages. Okay. She's going to pull out her calculator, as Dr. Parrish has advised us, and compute the difference. And she'll find out that if she accepts your offer, she loses that public assistance, because there is built into that program a drop-off, a cliff. She's beyond a threshold that entitles her to that assistance. Here's the problem. The opportunity that lies before her in the way of increased income, maybe it's just a raise, maybe it's a new job, doesn't get her all the way to where she is now in terms of total ability to provide for her kids. So she says, no, I can't do that. It's just not enough. So she remains then dependent on that assistance. And some of my fiscal conservative friends, you know, complain about the fact that there's just so much money being spent on social welfare programs. Well, there is, no doubt. But perhaps the adjustments need to come not only in terms of our own understanding of what that's like, but it has to do with the adjustments to these programs that provide a degree of tapering. So there's a gradual stepping away from. You know, if we look at the rootedness of this in our community, and I'll talk with you a little bit about this in the next segment, but we have to start looking beyond just the last 10 years or even the last 50 years. I want you to consider where we've come from culturally. We're going to talk about plantation thinking.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Here we are in the final moments of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your favorite radio show, certainly mine. Well, kind of it is, because I like the fact that you're there listening with me and we're listening to these folks help us better understand who we are and why we're here and what we're doing and all the stuff that people talk about on this show. It's been a interesting ride thus far. Hope you'll stay with me. Reports are number one weekend radio talk show in Tallahassee. Thanks to you and all the many of you who listen or are podcasting with us. You download the podcast to your phone. That's a cool thing. You can listen at the site, TallahasseeTalks.com. All of the shows are there archived for you at your convenience. You can do that, including today's broadcast. And we're fortunate enough to have some friends across the way. Real Talk 93.3, that's their new handle, Real Talk. John Jopling and company. Good company over there. They are. All of them work pretty hard to keep that whole enterprise moving in the right direction. And we're among those on the weekend that fill out their dance card, so you can tune in over there. 9 o'clock Saturday mornings, 93.3 FM Tallahassee. Simulcast on Moose Magnificat at that same hour. Now, Moose Magnificat is Tallahassee's radio for the world, bringing all of Tallahassee's, or as many as we can find, local musicians playing their original songs all the time. All local, all the time. Moose Magnificat. The Sound of Tallahassee, it is. Great songs. A lot of great musicians. Oh, my goodness. Eric Durance, Drew Tillman, New 76ers, Sarah Mack. Oh, man, the Royce Lovett just goes on and on and on. Lisey Payton. Yeah, Del Suggs. Come on. You're not tuning in on this stuff? What you're missing, you're missing. You can download the app. It's easy. Loads quickly. Doesn't take up a lot of space on your phone. Just go to the website, moosemagnificat.com. Well, we're in this last portion of the show, and I will take the show in a better direction to say that if you're like me, you've learned a lot. And I continue to stay with you in that process, and because the more that we learn about the various places that are Tallahassee, when you start getting to know the folks over there in Frenchtown with the Frenchtown Neighborhood Improvement Association, James Bellamy and his remarkable group of people who have really done, and it's not appreciated, I don't think, have done the remarkable work of bridging those who want to gentrify Frenchtown to the point where that it doesn't even look like Frenchtown anymore, to those who say, no, we don't need any of the installations here, we're fine, leave us alone. And somewhere in between that, you'll find James Bellamy. And Jim is a guy who I think has the ear of a lot of folks, both in the community, Frenchtown, as well as some of our noted public leaders, commissioners, and social service folks. And I think owing to his remarkably buoyant, almost, hopeful, personable way with people. You know, he told me he attended Lincoln High School when Lincoln High School was located in Frenchtown. When you start to understand Frenchtown, you can really better understand Tallahassee. It's just that way. And if you haven't, if you don't really dig in to figure out what happened, how Frenchtown went from being this vibrant economic community trudging through the 70s, 80s, and 90s into stagnation, crime, and drugs, you really don't get the Tallahassee story. It's like trying to understand America without knowing what the Civil War was for this country as a crossroads. And in the words of Shelby Foote, a hell of a crossroads. You cannot better understand where you are right now and where we may be going if you don't understand the history of Frenchtown. It's just that simple. I've learned a great deal of late, and I continue to look into that part of our community as much as you might look in the direction of other developments. I mean, socially and economically. Do you really appreciate what the expansion and development of Midtown means? Again, forming a kind of bridge between North and South. Yeah. I mean, Gain Street itself is that indication of, in some people's minds, progress. But again, some saying, yeah, it's not Gain Street anymore. It's certainly not the All Saints district that we once knew. You can come down on that question in any direction you care to, but I would offer you this. When you recognize our cultural foundation, going back 150 years ago, the census of 1860 reveals that we had more plantations than any other county in Florida. 75% of the population was enslaved. There were clearly some demarcations between us and them, between those who have power and wealth and property and ownership and position and influence, and those who have none of those things. Plantation thinking continues to invade us in ways that are very subtle. We bring that out to the light of day and ask the question, how is it that one zip code among all zip codes in Florida has this remarkable, unimaginable disturbing concentration of poverty and crime and entrenchment, income entrenchment. When we get past thinking of ourselves in the way that we have learned to think of ourselves, the way we've inherited this, people are no longer invisible in plain sight. It is no longer tolerable to have one man living in a mansion next door to a man living in a dirt-floored shack. It's just not the way we want things to be. And with that determination, maybe Tallahassee, like that adolescent, will shed some of its presumptions about who she is, what she is, what she's come from, and where she wants to go. Maybe we will enter this next decade and beyond with a greater sense of discovery, a desire for more, a desire for inclusion, and a resolution to find those solutions that are lasting. That's my hope. I hope it's yours. Thanks for being with me today. Tallahassee Talks is the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. Coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat. You'll find us online at moosemagnificat.com, playing all of Tallahassee's local musicians, their original songs. It's the sound of Tallahassee. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Whidden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Whidden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Whidden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Whidden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Whidden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.